Next Step number 750, October 20th, 2022.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to a 15th season of the Next Step podcast with Father Vazgen. With these podcasts, Father Vazgen provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte. So we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Well, welcome to the next step. The first time coming back, whatever the case may be. I hope you're doing well. For the next few minutes, we're together, and I hope we'll bring you something new and exciting to share with you. Hope you're doing well. We are broadcasting from the Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles area, and it is another hot day over here. The other day, I was talking to a friend who was visiting from Canada, from Toronto. And we were at a wedding together. We were sitting together and comparing notes. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, you know, I love your warm weather." I said, "You know, we only have one season over here." He goes, "What's that? Summer, 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 summer?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, well, we have four seasons, but the cold season, the winters are sometimes unbearable. Very difficult to get through." And I thought to myself, wow, look at the trade-offs and everything. I sometimes complain because it's just warm. What are we today? In the, like the end of October? What, today's October 20th? And it's like in the 90s. It's in the 90s Fahrenheit. It's hot. Yes, the one season, the one season Los Angeles area. We are broadcasting from here and wherever you may be, cold, hot. I hope you're doing okay. I hope you're relaxed. We're going to be talking about something exciting. I think if I were to ask you, what's your favorite passage from the Bible? Would that be different than if I were to ask you, what's the most important passage from the Bible? Think about that for a minute, huh? If I were to ask you, what is your favorite, would that be different from what is the most important? Obviously, both subjective and what's important. It's subjective. Your importance might be different than mine or anybody else's, right? But in your head, that one that is special to you, your favorite passage, would it be different from the most important passage in the Bible? Think about it for a moment. I'm going to share with you a very special passage. It happened to be the passage that was shared in our Armenian churches this past Sunday. It came to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. And actually, I want to share it with you. I've spoken about this on Next Step. I've shared this because it is a very special passage for me. It happened to be the 40 years ago I did my first sermon as a priest. It's called Antranik Badarak. Antranik means the first. Your first celebration of the liturgy. The priest has to do it after a period of seclusion. And traditionally, this period of seclusion, usually about 40 days, is used for the priest to meditate, to contemplate his ministry, and at the same time to learn his ministry. Yes, you'd be surprised. So for 40 days, we are secluded. We are secluded. Well, obviously, we don't have monasteries here. I was ordained at the St. James Armenian Church in Los Angeles. If you're familiar with it, you know where that is, right near the airport. If you're not familiar with it, next time you fly into LAX, just look out the window. And you will see. You got to know where to look, right? That's not fair for me to say. Los Angeles is a huge place. But if you know where to look, you will see it. You will see its beautiful St. James's beautiful dome shining. and protruding from the clouds even, depending. Sometimes we get fog out there too by the airport. Anyway, it is a beautiful church, and I had the good fortune of being ordained, consecrated at St. James Armenian Church in Los Angeles. And as is the custom, you have to sell, after the consecration, you have a period of seclusion. Not much different than that period of seclusion that our Lord Jesus Christ had. If you read the Gospels, you know that after his baptism, he had a period of seclusion for 40 days and 40 nights. He was led into the wilderness where he was tempted by the tempter, right? And from there he comes out and begins his ministry. So in the same way, after a priest is consecrated, right after his consecration, he goes into seclusion, and after that period of seclusion, he comes out to begin his ministry with the Antranik, with the first Badarak, Antranik Badarak, with the first divine liturgy. Now, what is very special for me was that obviously the church calendar is set way before a Father Voskin was going to be consecrated, what the dates were, but it was very interesting, coincidental, we could say that, the divine providence, divine arrangement, that's pushing it, right? I don't know. That's pushing. I won't say anymore. I'll let you guys think about it for a moment. But it just so happened that the Sunday right after my seclusion, I came out and the passage for that Sunday happened to be the passage where Jesus comes out of his 40 days of seclusion and begins his ministry. It was on October 17th of that year. Let's see, what was it? 1982. You go check your calendars. This year was October 16th. That is the Bible passage. Comes to us from Luke chapter 4. We're going to be looking at that in a few moments because it not only happens to be my favorite passage, but it also happens to be, I believe, the most important passage in all of the Bible because it talks about the mission of Christ. When you say, why did Jesus Christ come? I know people have all kinds of answers. He came to save the souls. He came because we were doomed to die. We were doomed to perish. Actually, those are all good answers, okay? I think if you were on Jeopardy and you selected any one of those, you would have probably gone off with the final Jeopardy prize, okay? I don't want to put anybody out of place. You believe what you want, but I'm going to tell you why this is so important in just a moment, okay? Why this passage? Because Jesus comes out of seclusion, and he shares a very special message about his ministry. And so I was very, very fortunate. I was blessed. Remember, I gave you the definition for blessing. It is luck without the element of chance. So I was very lucky, I could say. I could say I was very blessed because there was no element of chance in my case. I got out and this was the passage. So it comes to us from Luke chapter 4. And in it we read that Jesus had been, he was baptized and then he was taken into the wilderness. Chapter 4 begins, then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Were you waiting for me to say 40 days and 40 nights? No. That's from advertising. That's from advertising for Las Vegas. 3 days, 2 nights. No. I'm just reading it here. It says 40 days by the devil. Now, this is not the passage that was read this Sunday. This is the lead-in. So right after that 40 days, it goes into, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went through all the surrounding region. So right after his baptism, he is in the wilderness. He overcomes the temptation of the devil. And then he begins his ministry. So he comes and he says, now, and listen to the words. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And what happens during consecration, during ordination? You receive the ordination, you receive the consecration with the holy muron, the symbol of the Spirit. And so the priest now, I'm telling you, this is beautiful. And it worked. It worked. I want to say it's blessed. It's a blessing. Because on that Sunday, I walked out of my period of seclusion. And this was, I'm ready to do my first divine liturgy. And this is the passage, okay? Blessing. Now, what we did during the seclusion, you know, that's coming up in the second half. I know that's, there's some mechanical things that take place during that period of seclusion. I want to share that, okay? That's going to be, we'll open the curtain on that, okay? Coming up in the second portion of today's show. But let's talk about this passage right now. So I come out of seclusion and this is the passage and listen to it. It says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Okay? He goes to the place where he was brought up. And again, is this a blessing? Is this, how does this work? Is it just by chance? Is it a coincidence? But I'm waking up on that Sunday in the place where I was brought up. I'm doing my first liturgy at the church where I was brought up, St. James in Los Angeles. Okay? So, and let's see, he stood up to read and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So what you just heard, it's about me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and this is what I have come for. I have come here to preach the gospel to the poor. What Isaiah is talking about is talking about me, Jesus Christ, he's saying. In your hearing, it is now fulfilled. The prophet made this prophecy. He's talking about me. And Jesus is saying this to the people, in your hearing. In your hearing, it's fulfilled. And this is what it means, that I have come here. This is my mission, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is what Jesus Christ came for. It is his mission. Why do I think this is so important for us? Because in understanding his mission as part of his community, that is the church, that is his body, we have to be doing the same work that he's doing. If we are really the living body of Jesus Christ, I mean, then we have to do the work that he was sent to do. And he's here for this purpose. Now, what's interesting about this little passage I read to you from the New King James Version, it is exactly a translation of the Armenian passage. Why do I say exactly? Because there is one small little portion that has been excluded in later translations, particularly the Revised Standard Version, which is very popular version used in many of our churches. And so this one little portion, it says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And what's interesting is that our church has even published books where we quote this passage. The most famous of them is the lectionary book, which has the readings for every Sunday. And the reading for last Sunday, if you look into that book, that one little passage is not there. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Sirdapeg. Sirdapeg. Pujushkelu sirdapeg. To heal them. And when I caught that, I asked, because I caught it, let me be honest with you, I caught it because this passage means so much to me. And so I was reading it, and I noticed that that wasn't there. So I brought it up to the fellow who put together that book, and he says, maybe there was just no brokenhearted people in Armenia. And it made me realize that, wow, we really don't get it, do we? We really don't get it. It's just a mechanical effort on so many people's part, when actually this is an opportunity for us to tune in to what is Christ's mission, and therefore what is my mission as a priest, as a member of the church, as a member of Christ's body. What is my mission? Why am I here? Why do I call myself a Christian? And you can't just write it off. And, you know, also there is another point to be made. When you think about it, how many errors do happen in transcription, in just moving from one place to the other? I mean, very good intentions. I'm sure they wanted to put together a book that had all of the readings, and they took the Revised Standard copy, cut and paste it. And if it didn't mean that much to me, I probably would not have caught it. But I caught it because I knew what the original text was. So right away when I saw the Revised Standard had taken it out, I went back to the original Armenian manuscript, the Gurapar, the one which it was translated into, and there it was, Sirdapeg, the brokenhearted. And so it's important for us to remember that a lot of times things do happen because of little clerical errors. For instance, we've talked about this many, many times, about the situation on the Day of Great Living, commonly called in the Western world, Fat Tuesday, right? Mardi Gras. What is Mardi Gras? It's celebration because the following day, Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. For us, that Mardi Gras is what's called it's like a Fat Tuesday. It's called the Day of Great Living. Bun Bare Gentan. And Bare Gentan literally means good living, and Bun means the original or the main event. This is the main. Every feast day has a Bare Gentan, a day of good living before the fasting before it, but this is the main one. It's the main one before Easter, of course. So we call it Bare Gentan, or like I said, Fat Tuesday. Yeah, you've got to stretch that, but you get the idea. It's a day of celebration. Well, interestingly enough, the day of celebration, good living, Jesus Christ coming into our lives, that holy sacrament on that day is celebrated behind closed curtain. Why? Because somebody says, well, that's what it says in the instructions. That's what it says in the calendar for that day, the rubrics of the day. This is what it says right there. Close the curtain. And, you know, is it possible? And we made this case, and it was kind of funny because I've said this for so many years, and then a couple of weeks ago when Bishop Daniel was here, I asked him this question. He says, well, I've written about that. I've written a paper about that. And you look on today's show notes, I'll put the reference to his paper about it. Yes, these things do happen. I mean, we're used to word processors. Believe it or not, before word processors, there used to be typewriters. Believe it or not, before copy machines, we used to use carbon paper. Oh, this is dating us, but people don't remember these things. Before there were typewriters, there was pen and paper. Before there were pen and paper, there was people sitting there on lambskin, doing this on animal skin. Well, anyway, you have a manuscript that needed to be copied. You had a scribe, and usually, you know, in the case of the Bible, this scribe would make a vow to God that I will copy this entire scripture. And meticulously they would go through and they would copy these manuscripts. Well, is it just possible that on the day after Good Living, the day after Mardi Gras, which would be the beginning of Lent in the West, Ash Wednesday for us, the beginning of Lent, the Monday after the day of Good Living, is it possible that those instructions on that Monday to close the curtain were just transposed on the wrong day and they were put on Saturday night or Sunday morning? And so we just follow along blindly without looking at it reasonably and logically, that on a day of Good Living, you better have that altar open. You have to have that altar open. Anyway, this has been a big point of contention. People are up in arms about it. When simply, when all things are equal, the simplest explanation makes sense, or the one that's correct. What was that called? Occam's Theorem, right? Occam's Razor, that's what it was called, Occam's Razor. Yeah, when all things are equal, you go for the simplest explanation. And it's okay, it happens, yes. Somebody made a mistake. It's far better to admit that somebody made a mistake than to try to create a narrative which will try to explain, well, you know, it's Day of Good Living, but we're going to be drawing the curtain because we're doing this and that. It's just too much, too much. Go for the simple explanation, which in this case I think works well. All this to say that why is this missing? Well, because it was just very easy for somebody to cut and paste that passage from the Bible, and they did that. And they took it from the Revised Standard, which doesn't have the translation to that one particular verse, to heal the brokenhearted. You know what? Let's take a break right now, as we always do. Gave you a lot to think about, a lot to digest. And we put a song in the middle. When I get back, I'm going to share with you what we do during the 40 days, but also continuing in this vein about Jesus's and why Jesus's mission and why this particular passage is not only my favorite, but also the one that is most important to me. Anyway, I'd pick a song every week, give us a little bit of time to think, contemplate, and a little break for all of us. This is what I picked for this week. Enjoy.
Karın karı zarnem çerkin zengçiga, alkul fisneç telkçiga, zarnem çerkin zengçiga, alkul fisneç telkçiga. Sırdız haleri dujet, anun kul kis kujet. Sırdız haleri dujet, anun kul kis kujet. Hoş ortem kıt inç damalet, tarz yalcı bidner kujet. Hoş ortem kıt inç damalet, tarz yalcı
Well, what did you expect me to play? Was that really totally unexpected? Of course not. Sırdız vrak harmaga, there is a stone on my heart, as we are talking about the brokenhearted, right? Very appropriate. Richard Hagopian doing this, one of my favorite musicians, one that kind of patterned the way I grew up in many, many ways, listening to his music, listening to not only his records, but also going in many, many times, going to what was called Kef Time back in those time days in Fresno. We'd go and we'd just spend this most incredible evening where it was Richard Hagopian, Khachig Azarian from back east or from the Midwest, and Jack Chalikian, my favorite, on Kanun. And wow, those were the days. Yes, those were the days, my friend. But this one is off of an album called The Best of Armenian Folk Music. I will have a link on today's show notes so you could check out not only this song, but all the great stuff that comes out from artist Richard Hagopian. I always tell you, you know, support musicians. They give us so much. In this case, he's given me a definition to a lot of my Armenian music and Armenian understanding, too. And I hope you enjoyed it. Back to the show. Well, welcome back. We are looking at Luke chapter 4 today. We're looking at it because, first of all, it was the reading that we had in our churches, the gospel reading, but also looking at it as a celebration of the ministry. Happened to be the first sermon that I gave as a priest following my ordination and period of seclusion. In other words, after my period of seclusion, I had this incredible awakening that, wow, what a blessing that the Bible reading for that particular Sunday happened to be the passage of Jesus starting off his ministry. And hey, if you're going to pattern your life after anybody, you need an inspiration. There it is, Jesus Christ starting his ministry. And how does he start it? He goes into a church and he says, "This is what I've been ordained to do." And when you contemplate that little passage there, you see that there are a few tasks that are given, but collectively they make up what's called the mission. The mission that Jesus Christ had for his ministry, and subsequently as followers of Christ, namely the church, the body of Christ, well, there's no difference. That is also our mission as well. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And when you look at it, you know, this is why a lot of times people who have not participated in the next step or what we're about as far as the ministry in his shoes and everything, the natural follow-up to this passage is that you have to engage in helping people. That's what Jesus was all about. He came, and he came to heal. He came to protect. He came to set at liberty. He came to proclaim. When it says he came to talk about the gospel to the poor, what is that gospel? Now mind you that he's reading from Isaiah. He's reading pre-New Testament. And he's saying to preach the gospel. Well, the gospel literally means the good news. What is the good news? That God's with you. That God is in your midst. God is not somebody who's outside of history, but is inside of history, and he's with you. He's with you. And so to preach that to the poor, to talk to the brokenhearted, to give recovery of sight to the blind, that there is nobody who is excluded from God's kingdom. We are all children of God. And this idea and notion that there are favorites, that there are chosen ones, no. We are all children of God. And this is why over and over, when you listen to what we preach here on The Next Step, what we talk about through Epostle, what the mission statement of In His Shoes is, it's all connected. It's about doing the right word. If you want to be called a Christian, follow the words that Jesus said. Who is my family? Who is the Christion, the Christ family? It is those people who do the will of God. What is that will of God? No, it's not to stand there and bash other people. It's not to stand there and say, I'm right and you're wrong. It's to go out there and tend to the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind. And this is not, don't take this so literally where you're thinking, oh, how am I going to give sight to the blind? I'm not talking about people without eyeballs in their sockets. Each and every one of us is blind to the beauty that's all around us. Have you seen people who are so consumed with all that life has to give them that they don't have a moment to just look around, and they are blind to the beauty that God has created all around them? Who are the oppressed? The oppressed. These are not just people in third world countries. These are not people in jail. The captives. We're all captives. We're captives to our wants, to our needs, to the materialism that we have over here, our desires. And to be free of all this means to be set free. So there's many dimensions to this one saying, this one mission statement. What I want to present to you here is that it's what was prescribed last Sunday happened to have been also what was prescribed for me on that first Sunday that I celebrated the Divine Liturgy. So personally, I took this as an invitation for me to engage with the gospel at this level, at the level that I felt like this was my mission as a priest of Jesus Christ, as a priest of the church. This is our mission. And it didn't hit me until I think it was about, I want to say about 20 years later. I had gone to Father Mestrob in Oakland, his ordination, but it didn't hit me there. It didn't hit me until several years later, I want to say about 20 years later, when I went to the ordination of a priest down here on of the Los Angeles area. And the gospel reading for the service, not for the Sunday, for the service, happened to be this gospel reading. So something kind of clicked in me. I said, oh, that's interesting. My favorite gospel, it's being read at the ordination of this priest. And I still didn't get it. I thought that, okay, maybe it was the assigned reading for that particular day. And then I was at another ordination and yet another ordination. And this passage kept coming back. And so I looked up in, the Mashtots. The Mashtots is a book of the rituals that we have. For instance, the baptism, the wedding service, even the funeral is in the book of Mashtots. It's the prayer book for the priest. There is a prayer book for the bishops, because bishops can do all of the sacraments, whereas the priest can do only 6 of the 7 sacraments. We cannot ordain, we cannot consecrate, we cannot ordain. The bishop can. And so the service of ordination is what's put into the Ma'ir Mashtots, the Mother Mashtots. So I went and I borrowed a copy of the Ma'ir Mashtots and I looked it up, and there it was. There's the passage, Luke chapter 4, verses 16 and following. And I said to myself, look at that. There it is. Our church fathers have placed it in the ordination service. Why? Because the priest is getting ordained into the ministry of the church, and this happens to be the mission of the church. Very clear. Yeah, there it is. It's the mission statement of the Christian church. Or at the very least, the Armenian Apostolic, the Armenian Orthodox, the Armenian People's Church. This is the mission statement. I have come to do these things, therefore my body has to continue to do these things. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It's so beautiful when you flow it like this, because you understand that it is all interconnected, that we have this opportunity to live out the Christ life, to live out what Jesus' mission was through his body, namely the sacred Christian church, the Armenian church. There it is, plain and simple. So I told you what we were going to do, like what we did in the 40 days. That's like the major secret. Well, here's let me give you a little hint, okay? So we are secluded right after ordination, and this is a period of time for contemplation, for meditation. I was very fortunate. I was placed inside of the church in Los Angeles. I can't say it was a rough area. It was a little sketchy. And so the priest at that time, Father Arshag of the church, I was blessed to have him to be my sponsor, and who personally took care of it in consultation with my ordaining bishop, Archbishop Vacha. They decided that every night I should have somebody spend the night with me inside of the church. So we actually sat in the church, slept in the church. We put up a few cots. And I remember I set up one cot right under the dome of the church. And that's where I slept at nights. It was so emotionally charged and a beautiful opportunity for me to be able to do that. I am so thankful. And was there temptation? Yeah, there was temptation, because we were in a city. Right across the street, there was a store called Zodi's. It's kind of like a general store, like a Target, you know. There's a temptation to run out there and see what's going on in the world, because after a while, you're secluded. All my food was brought there. People would bring the food, place it by the door. They would knock on the door, and then they would run so that I wouldn't have any contact with people, too. My godfather, he lived a few blocks down. He would pick me up in his car. I'd basically have like a cover-up over me, take me to his house so I could take a shower, and then he'd bring me back. So like every day or every 2 days, I would get this opportunity to at least get some fresh air, to go outside, hidden, undercover, inside of a car, to go to his house and take a shower. So there was all kinds of little rules and regulations that we had to do. But the most important part is that we practiced what a priest does, namely the sacraments. And so every day I'd have priests that would come and visit me. and we would celebrate the Divine Liturgy. We would baptize. I learned how to baptize, how to marry a couple, how to do a funeral. The how-to, the mechanics of being a priest are now explained during that time of seclusion. So, where do you learn? Well, you learn right there. You know, I had a chance to do this. Father Seropé, who's now serving out there in Orange County, after he was ordained, I had a chance to go during his seclusion to go and work with him. And you know what was really beautiful? His seclusion was at the Roman Catholic Seminary, St. John's, out in Camarillo. And I remember going there, and there was this one practice room where they had small little mini altars throughout the entire room where you could practice the Divine Liturgy. And because, you know, your class has several priests, it's not like in my case, I was the only one ordained. No, they have multiple priests that are ordained. And so they had these practice altars. And I can't get that out of my mind that, wow, this is what we got to aspire towards, right? To have enough priests where we can have, you know, small little practice altars to do it. But basically, during that period of seclusion, it's the nuts and bolts. It's learning the mechanics of it. This is a time where priests, bishop came, and we would sit, we would talk about the different things going on in the world, how to address it. And in retrospect, I started understanding that what we talk about here, he has come anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, send me to the brokenhearted, proclaim the liberty of the captives. Basically, this is where we learned all this. We learned in training that these things were important. We learned the theology. But it's during that one little seclusion, that period of seclusion, that as you're contemplating, you start thinking about these things. You start setting your course, your path. You start putting together the game plan for you to go out and truly preach to the poor. Truly do the work that God has asked you to do, to be with the brokenhearted people, to be with people who are struggling. And so this is what happens during the course of the 40 days or the time of seclusion. At the end of seclusion, I was very emotional because it was a very special time, and you realize that you cannot live in seclusion all your life. I know there's a lot of people who would like to, but you can't. You can't be in seclusion. There's people who unfortunately get lost in the rituals, and they forget that the Christian life is one of doing. It's not one of hiding. It's not one of just being outside of the world. It's one of being engaged with the world, bringing the message of Christ to the world. Or as you saw in this one little passage, bringing it to the people. And so it was a very emotional time. I was very fortunate to get out. Now, what I want to tell you is coming up. If you've been following Epostle, I'm going to be putting together the notes from my seclusion, and I'm going to be sharing that shortly. Okay, so there's some really great personal insights of the transition of a man to a priest. And I'm going to invite you to be there. So that's it. That is my little take on my favorite passage, which means so much to me. And I feel the most important passage in all of Holy Scripture, because it signals to us. It's not about God. It's not about God's presence. It signals to us what our responsibility is as Christians, as Christ's body. All right, here's Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back to tell you some exciting stuff coming up. I just hinted at it, but there's more to come. Here's Susie.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. Thank you, all of you, all of the great notes, letters I got. I got a letter from a gentleman named Thomas. He's in South America. And he wrote me in Armenian. I'll try to translate it the best I can. It's about Bishop Daniel's interview from last week. He writes that he enjoyed that Bishop Daniel tied the message with what we do daily. Bishop Daniel used the term limited understanding when he was talking about the prosperity gospel. I mean, we can do two things simultaneously. We can rub our belly and tap our head at the same time, right? We can talk right here on this podcast and at the same time revamp our website. This is incredible! And you happen to be there. You're there. Anyway, a lot of good things are happening, and do join us on epostle.net. Please make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Things are moving along, maybe a little bit slower than we had anticipated as far as getting the human resources to put this all together, but it is getting there, and we need your prayers more than anything else right now. I need your prayers for our team and for the work that we're doing. So let me call it a day for right now. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Find us at epostle.net. That's apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. On behalf of my wonderful producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Vazquez, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. Said where to check it out, epostle.net. We kicked it off almost a month ago, and it is taken off very nicely. We had, what was it? Like the other day, I saw something like 800 shots in that day on epostle.net. Not the website, but on one of the social media pages. I think it was on Facebook. So that kind of got me exciting that, yeah, okay, things are picking up really nicely. Our videos are being exploited, which is great. Brand new video came out. And, of course, we have the TikTok elevator priest. All kinds of things coming out. And hopefully, next time we talk, I'm going to be sharing some more about social media because we're going to be hiring somebody in the next few days that'll be handling most of our social media. So I'm very excited about Apostle. I want to steer you there. You may be listening to this on Apostle. As you know, we have daily meditations, daily prayers, daily messages offered by yours truly. And over the weekend, the next step, what you're listening to right now, happens to be the daily message. So whatever way you get it, I'm glad you're on board. And those of you who have been on for a while, I said this last week, I know people have complained because they haven't been getting it in the last few weeks. They haven't been getting the notice for it. All you need to do is re-register. That's all. We have moved over from the InIssues servers to the Epostle servers. InIssues is being ramped up to talk about the ministry, and Epostle will be the electronic voice of that ministry. So that's happening as we speak. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, we can do two things at the same time. We're going to rub our belly and tap our head simultaneously. Wild, isn't it? We're talking here on the Next Step, and at the same time, our website is getting revamped. Oh, wow. Anyway, right now, let me tell you, it's going. We have definitely challenges what I need more than anything else, and I'm asking you, please remember us in your prayers. Your prayers go a long way in supporting us, in giving us that fuel, that energy for us to move forward and forge forward. We got our new offices. We are in Glendale. If you happen to be that way, drop me a line. Love to show them to you. But it's still taking a little bit of time putting it all together. When I say we got our offices, literally we got offices. There's nothing in them. Everything's in the closet. One by one, we're taking them out and putting it there. So we're still working out of makeshift offices. Anyway, that being said, I want to thank you very much for joining us. In all seriousness, please, please remember us in your prayers. That does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of my wonderful producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. And don't forget the show notes.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.
Forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.